Hello, friends. We are interrupting Healing Hearts to remind you April is not just a month. It's a call to action. This month, we celebrate Volunteer Appreciation and Child Abuse Prevention Month, recognizing those who give their time and hearts to protect our most vulnerable. Every child deserves a life filled with love, safety, and normalcy. But sadly, not every child experiences this. That's where we, as a community, step in. Our amazing volunteers are the unsung heroes working tirelessly to advocate for children's well-being. They're the voices that speak up, the hands that reach out, and the hearts that care deeply. But the fight against child abuse needs much more than just appreciation. It needs action. This April, we invite you to participate in our efforts to protect children, provide them with the normalcy they deserve, and advocate for their rights. Visit www.speakupforkidspbc.org to find out what you can do to amplify the voices of our volunteer advocates. Remember to engage with us on social media. Participate and protect, because every child deserves a champion, and that champion could be you. Now, back to Healing Hearts. Hey there, friend. Welcome to Healing Hearts, where we understand the challenges of parenting children with behavioral, developmental, or emotional divergence. If you've ever struggled with fear, uncertainty, exhaustion, isolation, or even feelings of guilt along your parenting path, we get it. Here, it's all about guiding you through the highs and lows of raising kids who need equal parts love, patience, and empathy. Our approach is a little different. Healing Hearts was created and continues to be hosted by dynamic high school and college students who consider the support of vulnerable or at-risk children and their families critical to student success. What can you expect from us? Encouragement and honest talk with terrific guests, sharing relatable stories and smart tips to make your journey smoother. We also focus on parents and children's mental and emotional health because it's vital. You'll get simple, effective strategies to keep you strong and positive, because parenting is a heroic act. And when advice isn't enough, we point you towards extra help and resources. Stay with us, tune in, and let's take this journey together. We are here to back you up, boost your spirits, and help you confidently face each day. Welcome to the Healing Hearts family. We are so happy to have you here.
We are excited to introduce our guest speaker, Elise Jones, a licensed social worker, certified parenting coach, and expert in child development and family dynamics. With over 10 years of experience, she has dedicated her career to providing therapeutic coaching for parents and consultation for family-focused organizations. As the founder and chief consultant of Parenting for the Culture, she addresses intergenerational trauma and transforms traditional parenting practices. She is also known for creating engaging parenting workshops, professional training, and personalized coaching to enhance family connections and community well-being. Please welcome Elise Jones to Healing Hearts.
Hi, Sophia.
Hello. So we would like if you could start off by sharing your background and journey with our listeners.
Absolutely. Let me first say thanks for having me. And as you already mentioned, my name is Elise Jones, and my background has always included the honor of working with families. I received my bachelor's and master's in social work, which has really allowed for a fulfilling journey as I've been able to serve as a therapist for a private practice. I'm also a lifelong educator. I served in the school setting as a school social worker, providing counseling for many years. And now I operate as a full-time wife. I'm a full-time mom, and as you already mentioned, a parenting coach, because every role I've been in has been a reminder of how so many parents are healing their inner child even as they're raising their own child. And that's one thing I recognize. So as a certified parenting coach, as a licensed mental health professional, even as a mom of two, I'm passionate about empowering parents with the tools to discipline with their child's love language in mind by still giving correction That's important, right? But without sacrificing connection.
So we learned a lot when going through some of the stuff that you do, and we wanted to understand what led you to focus on parenting in your professional career.
So it was honestly both education and experience, right? So when I say education, I kind of explain, my background, and the role that it has played from, working with families in the school setting and beyond. But also when I say experience, having kids makes you really think about things that you don't consider sometimes, or things you don't really take the time to think about. And I remember when we had our first child, me and my husband, like we really began to like have conversations about like what do we really believe about parenting, right? Like what ideas do we subscribe to? What are our values, as parents? And so it really opened up conversations even about our own childhoods. They were really insightful and just kind of solidified the path that I was already on, but made it real in a new way because now I was not just, Elise the counselor, Elise the therapist, Elise the social worker. I'm now Elise the mom, right? And really having to do a deep dive on not just the things that I've studied, but what do I truly also believe in conjunction with what I've studied now as a parent. And so that really set the stage for really beginning to unfold and unpack and set a new passion, to be honest, to get even more zoomed in on parents and their role. Because reality is, even as a school social worker, I've seen the most impact, the most change, the most growth with those students who had the parents who were able to join with me to do the work. And so it just really, it just came full circle, to be honest, when it comes to, again, my education and experience becoming a parent myself.
And so, how does parenting from the standpoint of a child's love language differ from traditional discipline strategies?
Oh, that's a really good question. Which is the hot topic that I'm talking about a lot when it comes to discipline. So when you talk about traditional discipline strategies, what's so interesting is that what we call traditional discipline, like, is really better defined as punishment. Right? Because punishment says, I'm going to make you pay for what you did. And that isn't discipline. Like, discipline literally means to teach. By definition, that's what it means. It comes from the same root word as disciple, meaning to be a student or a pupil. And so when we talk about traditional discipline strategies, it's really not discipline at all because our kids are not learning anything, right? We're using things like scare tactics, we're using fear, we're using threats, we're using punishment, and they are not learning. And when I say they're not learning, like someone may, argue that and say, no, they learn not to do it again, but they are not intellectually learning. Like, literally, the fear part of our brain makes it impossible to learn. And so what we're teaching them is how to survive, right? And that's not a real lesson because it's not teaching practical skills. And so when we talk about disciplining from a child's love language versus traditional discipline, is getting out of that punishment response, right? The threats, the fear, the coercion, all these things, and literally getting into the mindset of what does my child still need to learn. But when we do this with our child's love language, we're taking it even a step further by how does my child feel most loved? Because now I can connect with them in a way that I can speak their language even while I'm disciplining them. And so again, it's a perspective shift for a lot of parents, because it's like, if I take away the fear, the threats, like, what do I have left? And you have connection. You have connection. You have an opportunity to actually teach skills, not just for that moment, but skills they can learn and apply for a lifetime.
And it's really true what you were saying before. It's not really traditional discipline strategies, but it is sort of a punishment that isn't really getting through the brain. I see that. So, can you share a memorable experience where understanding a child's love language or your child's love language improved your approach to discipline or helped strengthen that connection?
Absolutely. Even before diving fully into that, I think it's helpful to connect the dots. And when we talk about like the love language piece, like what's so interesting when we talk about, again, the love language versus discipline, is that for every love language, if you're familiar with the love languages, for every single love language, there is a contradicting formal punishment that we as parents easily gravitate towards, right? So I want you to help me out, Sophia. Do you know the love languages? Which ones can you name off top of your head?
Words of affirmation.
So we have words of affirmation, and think about a common way parents will punish their kids in that's opposite of that, which is yelling, right? Making threats, being very aggressive with our words. So we have words of affirmation with the opposite of that is yelling or making threats. What else? Love language.
Physical touch.
Physical touch, right? And a very common punishment is physical discipline, right? I don't know what you call it. We call it whoopings where I'm from. So people say spankings, right? But physical touch, then we have the opposite of that, which is that physical discipline. What else?
Gift giving.
Yep. Giving gifts, receiving gifts. And the opposite of that, we take things away, right? When we put a child on punishment, we're taking their nice things away. You're doing good. I know I put you on the spot, but we also have quality time, right? As a love language. Opposite of that, isolation, time out, or, you know, being put away for a while. Also, we have acts of service. And then the opposite punishment of that is doing these forced chores, forced labors. And so it's so interesting when we look at that, the love languages, right? For every love language, we have a contradicting punishment language that directly communicates to that child that they're not loved, that they're not seen, they're not worthy of love or affection. And that is the only thing that they're learning in that moment, right? Not to not hit or to not do this or not, like they are literally learning, I am not loved or worthy of love in this moment. And so you ask the question of, have I seen a moment where that experience really helped a parent discipline well or strengthen that connection? And the answer is absolutely. I remember working, again, in a school setting as a social worker, school social worker at that time. And we had a student who I got several referrals because she was exposing herself through video and pictures, and they were circulating around the school. Now, if you know anything about situations like that, you know how serious it can be, even to the point of having to, you know, potentially involve law enforcement. And so, you know, that was a whole thing as well. But we had to make sure we brought the parents in to be a part of that conversation because it was a serious thing. And so we end up getting down. Even as I'm listening to the parent, I'm like thinking like, oh my God, like she does not, I'm hearing it. And like in the things that she's saying, I'm like, she does not feel seen. She does not feel loved. Long story short, we end up bringing to the surface the fact that this young lady's love language was quality time. It was quality time. She was brought up in a household where she was very well taken care of. But the thing we were able to pinpoint is that the parents were giving her more stuff when she actually just wanted more of them. She wanted their presence, their attention, their time. And so she was doing things in a way to show up and be seen. But once they were able to tap into the way she actually felt loved, like it drastically changed the dynamics of their relationship, the dynamics of their home, and the way that she even showed up in school. And so that's just one example that always sticks out to me. She wanted more of them, not more stuff, right? And when they were able to see that and kind of tweak some things to speak her love language, it really just change things in a drastic way.
So with that though, there must be unique challenges that you encounter once you realize that a love language conversation is necessary. Are there maybe times where that isn't sort of received? And then how do you sort of combat that?
Absolutely. So, you know, to be honest, I wouldn't even say challenge, but there are some consistent or common, I would say, hurdles, right, that I get to kind of help parents jump over. And that is the reality of that, especially if their child's love language is not a place of comfort for the parent, right? So let's say a parent who has issues with touch, and that could be associated with their own upbringing, right? Some very traumatic things could happen with them. So touch is uncomfortable for them. But we say the child's love language is physical touch, right? And so a huge and very common hurdle is helping the parent make sense of their own reactions to their child needs, right? Because even that comes with a narrative that we get to be curious about, that we get to unpack, that we get to explore. Because the reality is our kids show us the areas we need to be healed, but they're not responsible for that healing, right? So it's our job as the parent to let them shine that light on those wounds and then say, okay, let me become curious about this. Like, what is this revealing? Like, what story am I believing? What narrative? Like, what history is attached to this? And now I can begin to do the work so I can show up, not just for my child, but for myself in a way that is healing.
So let's say a parent is listening to this conversation and trying to do differently. How are they able to determine their child's love language?
Yes. So I love that, first of all, for the parent who's listening and is like, this is interesting. Let me get curious about this. That would literally be the first step, to become curious, like to be a student of our children, like to literally just sit. You know, as parents, we think we know a lot of things. Sometimes. And sometimes we have to remember, like, yes, I'm teacher, but I'm also student when it comes to this parent-child relationship. So for the parent who's listening, who's like, where do I start? I would say be a student of your child. Watch them, observe, like, what lights them up? What makes them excited? What is it that even helps calm them down when they are, overwhelmed or frustrated? Like, what is the thing that helps settle them? Also, another indicator could be even looking at how do they give love? Like, what is the way that child, even teenagers, like, how do they show love or show up for other people? That could be an indicator of how they desire to be loved. And I do think it's important to name as well that, like, these love languages are not fixed, right? Like, even I have, dipped my toe in different love languages throughout my life and different seasons, brought out new love languages in me. Because now, as a mom and wife, one of my top love languages is acts of service. That was never my case in the past, but now it's like, whoever takes some of this stuff off my plate, like, yes, I feel loved, I feel seen, I feel valued. And so just understanding that it's not fixed, right? It does flow. But when we get into the position as a parent to just become curious of our child's needs, it'll kind of point us in the right direction.
So, if they learn their child's love language is one or a couple of languages that we discussed, what are some examples, maybe like specific examples of different love language-based discipline?
Oh, good question. So, what's so interesting is when we talk about love language-based discipline, is really more so the awareness of how our child feels most loved and being conscious of what punishment styles to be intentional about avoiding. Now, again, I would say let's steer clear of all punishment, but when you think about those, five punishment that directly contradict each love language. To be aware of my child's love language is me also being aware of that is one I don't want to touch because that's crushing my child's spirit, that's communicating to them they're unloved, and it's disconnecting them from me ultimately, right? And so it's more so about being aware of what it is to steer clear of that contradicting one, because all discipline says this, regardless of the child's love language, discipline says, what does my child still need to learn? And so now that I'm conscious of their love language, I can be intentional about connecting with them as I'm teaching them that skill. So, for example, the toddler who is tantruming, right? That is an indicator. One is age appropriate, but two, this is an opportunity to teach my child regulation skills, right? The teenager who may be not being honest about things, they may need to learn that they are safe with me because has my past experiences or reactions when they are caught in the middle of not being honest, has that proven or communicated a safe environment? So again, becoming curious and asking what do they still need to learn and how can I be intentional about teaching that skill while also honoring their love language as a way to be connected to them as they're learning.
So these conversations sound as though they could be a lot different from the upbringing that we hear of. I mean, originally we used the term traditional, so this does seem like a new way of parenting. So could this also be something that like the parents also have to do the little assessment on themselves as well, sort of reparenting their inner child to sort of understand that it's going to be a difference from how they were brought up.
And it definitely could be different for some parents, right? I definitely know that not to be true for all parents, but absolutely for many, this is a different approach than what they're used to. And I think a huge part of that, actually, I know a huge part of parenting is really like getting curious about our own stuff, right? Our own beliefs, our own fears, our own insecurities, like because that those are the things our kids help reveal in us. And so a huge part of that absolutely becomes literally getting curious about what's happening in me. And like you said, sometimes it looks like reparenting the inner child, which basically means revisiting those wounds, revisiting those scars, making sense of them, right? And then choosing how are we going to either interrupt that cycle so it doesn't get passed down or make sense of it, go back and have like whatever that looks like looks different for different people. But the idea at bottom line is the reality that as parents, we have a, to be honest, it's really a responsibility. A responsibility to show up fully by making sure we are not bringing old wounds, old scars into our parenting relationship in a way that's keeping the wounds going.
Where can parents find helpful resources to learn to engage in this supportive, transformative discipline techniques that we've discussed?
Absolutely. As you mentioned, with your last question, like the fact that it starts with us, one very powerful tool and resource. I have a self-paced course that parents can explore. It's called Unoverwhelmed, The Secret to Not Matching Energy. So for the parent who is like, okay, discipline has been a struggle, but we're also being honest about how we're showing up in those moments, then this course will be a great resource for that. We're going to include that in the description. That link will be there. But it's just a great tool, a great resource for parents who are tired of feeling overwhelmed and recognize that, again, we as the parent play a part in the discipline. You can also feel free to check out the website parentingfortheculture.com to stay connected and in the loop. And following me on social media is also a great way to receive tools and tips at Elise Jones Official.
So, to sort of wrap up what we've been talking about, what advice would you give to a parent who's maybe survived a traumatic upbringing but wants to parent their child differently?
That is a good question. It can also be a tough question, right? But when I think about a parent who has survived a traumatic upbringing, I think I would first tell them that I really hate that they had to experience what they did. I would also tell them that I wish that the person or the people who raised them, I wish they had the capacity. I wish they had the understanding. I wish they had the village, the resources, the awareness to fully see them, to hear them, to empathize with them, to understand that they needed safety, to understand that they needed to feel seen, to feel supported. Like, I really wish that their parents who raised them knew that at the time. And I think I would also tell them that even despite all of that, like, the grace is the fact that you can now go from surviving to thriving, but it's a journey, right? And it would definitely be more of a marathon than a sprint, but your babies are worth it. Something tells me that they will already know that. And so I will also remind them that you are worth it as well, right? So if you're someone who desires to do this, like, find your community of like-minded parents who will support you in this journey. Parents who are on this journey with you, who understand why you are desiring to do things differently. Consider a parent coach, right? This is not an ad for myself, but I am one. But if not me, there are plenty others out there. Like, find you a good parent coach that you can connect with, who can get in the work with you to really help you in the process. And so, because the reality is that same capacity that I wish their parents had, that village I wish their parents had, like, their awareness, we now can give that to ourselves, right? This is an opportunity to give it to yourself. And so that would be my advice for them on next steps.
I think that's great advice. I think we are going to wrap up, but I wanted to give the floor to you if you had anything else you wanted to say to our listeners.
That is all. Honestly, I just think it's just such a gift for any parent, even the ones who are showing up in this space to listen. Like, just the fact of them being here and listening is an indicator they desire to continue to grow. And I think that's one of the biggest gifts we can give ourselves as parents, the freedom to grow, right? The freedom to grow and evolve. And so just the fact that you are here listening, shout out to you, parent. Shout out to you, mama, daddy, whatever your capacity is, for just continuing giving yourself the gift of growth and grace. And just know that I'm rooting for you. So again, feel free to reach out and follow again at Elise Jones Official on social media handles.
Well, thank you, Elise Jones, again for joining us on Healing Hearts and sharing the importance of love languages and discipline.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. We hope you found warmth and wisdom here to help you on your parenting odyssey. What is the best way to support us? Please subscribe, leave a review, and share Healing Hearts with anyone who could use this supportive community. Stay connected with us on social media or visit www.speakup4kidspbc.org for more information. Remember, a heart, like a garden, needs care to flourish. Until next time, you've been listening to Healing Hearts.